It's been nice knowing you guys. I've enjoyed my time on the radio here, but it's over. And, you know, just send flowers. Come to my grave and weep. The people who listen to this show regularly hate this. They hate this. They hate it when I stop down and I give a little inside look at our show. But we have so many new people checking our show out over the last several days. The fact that we are on, we're on like five more radio stations in California alone. So we have new people checking the show out. And so it's necessary to, what I like to call bring the audience up for air. You know, take your head out of the comedy trough and let you know what's going on. And what I do is create these characters and then play their part on the radio. It's like acting, except if you call it acting, people will go, oh, what are you, some kind of an artist or something? I mean, it's radio, dude. Well, I don't know, but I mean, that's what I'm doing. I'm playing a part of these different characters, and the people that call think they're real. I have no idea what Brian Grant sounds like. Have no idea at all. The guy's big. He's probably got a voice more like, you know, Phil, I love your program. I thought it was very fun. I don't know what he sounds like. But I just came on with some dopey voice, and, you know, people called in and thought the cat was real. Now, we do that all the time on our show. And we do it with a host of characters that we have created. And one of the reasons why the show works as well as it does is because we do not do broad, what I call broad, sketchy comedy. We try to do a kind of walking the edge satire. And that means we stay as close to a real sounding kind of presentation as we can. And we let the comedy derive from the stupid stuff that the guy says. In a moment here, I'll bring on Bobby Dooley. She is the president of the Western States Homeowners Association. She's going to be a regular on our show. You'll be hearing her. We'll also have this hour Steve Bozell, who is a construction contractor from Corona. We'll have on Ted Bell, who is the owner of Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse. He thinks one of the great steakhouses in America, although he's been on our show in the past, saying a fine cut of meat should just have a hint of mad cow disease in it. Because he's often said, you know how you love the good taste of wine? You know a good steak by the diarrhea it produces. And then there is Chris Norton, who thinks that he is the hottest thing going for women. Mr. Vernon Dozier, a high school football coach and pederast. Pastor William Rennick, who is a kind of a Pentecostal preacher down in Bell Gardens, California. And a host of other people that you'll meet on our show. And that's what we do, baby. And we do a lot of other stuff, too. Like, for instance, tonight on our radio show, you will hear Father James McQuarters is going to be on to talk a little bit about what's going on with the Pope. We're also going to have Lloyd Bonafide. He is an elderly Korean War veteran who's going to be auditioning for American Idol. And he was trying to audition last night on our show. And I said, why are you doing it here? Because he's been sick. He's bedridden, so he can't leave the house. So he wants to call it in and then have us play the tape for American Idol and hope that he can get on. He wasn't able to do it last night in full. He wants to do it tonight. And it's a Bruce Springsteen song called Hungry Heart, but he's going to include an onstage rap, kind of the raps that Bruce used to do on stage. You tell stories, he's going to tell a story in the middle of it. And we're also going to have Harvey Wehrman with his entertainment report. Harvey's been doing law talk, all kinds of stuff for us. But first of all, I do want to bring on our program now, Bobby Dooley from Western States Homeowners Association. Good evening, Bobby.
Hi, Phil. How are you?
Good. Did you hear the last hour we did with the fake Brian Grant voice?
You know, I did hear it, and I thought it was amusing. But I'm a Laker fan, and I don't like to hear my team made fun of like that, Phil, and it was a little bit painful, especially the exchange that the fake Brian Grant voice had with that young Hispanic gentleman. I thought that...
That guy was, you know, he was out of control anyway, and how do we know he was Hispanic? Maybe he was some white kid living up in Sherman Oaks who's just putting on a voice himself.
You know, that's a good point, but I think Brian does a great job for the Lakers, and I think you went over the line.
But the point is, I'm doing your voice right now, so you don't even have opinions, do you?
Well, I don't know what you mean by that. Are you?
I'm saying I'm doing your voice right now. How could you have an opinion?
Well, I have very definite opinions.
Tell me about yourself. Where do you live?
I live in Western Estates. Don't start grilling me as if I'm one of your, you know, I might be a made-up voice, as you say, but I won't be spoken to as if I'm, you know, one of your slaves or something.
Look, all I'm, what do you want, bud?
There's a guy outside who wanted to buy your time.
There's a guy outside who wants to buy, can you hold on for a minute, ma'am?
Yes.
There's a guy outside that wants to buy airtime on my show?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Let's see, I got his card here. Dick Little.
Dick Little. What is he selling?
Viagra. What?
What do you mean, what?
What?
Dick Little is a guy outside and he's selling Viagra. Is there a guy out there?
Yeah, there is. There's a guy out there. Here's his card.
Let me see this. Dick Little Pharmaceutical Sales. Don't you know this is a gag?
Why?
I can't tell you. Well, you ought to be smart enough to know.
He's selling it Viagra.
And his name is Dick Little.
I don't understand.
What, are you an idiot or something? I don't want to talk to the guy.
But the guy says that there's a lot of money in it. He wanted to buy airtime.
Look at Bud. This guy's gag. It's shtick, okay? Don't you understand?
You'll have to explain it to me.
I can't explain it to you.
Why not?
Because I can't.
You're telling me it's a gag. It's a guy outside named Dick Little selling Viagra.
Yes.
I'm going to get Mr. Hall on the phone.
You do that. You get Mr. Hall. For once, I hope you do get Mr. Hall on the phone. He'll straighten it out for you, if you'll pardon the pun.
What pun?
What an idiot. Anyway, this is what I got to deal with, Ms. Dooley.
Well, you're making that voice up too, aren't you? I mean,
let's get back to the point. The point that I'm making here is, why am I arguing with you? Anyway, you got a husband, and how many kids have you got?
I've got three sons, Seth, Justin, and Dylan. And I am very fit. I'm 39 years of age. And I am very much based, I guess, upon your mother. In a way, narcissistic and very, but I'm very lovely and good to look at, and I don't have any future.
All right, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right, here's David G. Hall, who's the VP of, David?
Yeah, but first of all, Bud tells me that there's a guy outside who wants to buy airtime.
Yeah, that's what he claims, but it's got to be a gag.
Why?
I told him to tell you.
Well, he didn't explain it very well. What's the problem?
He comes walking in here and says, there's a guy outside that wants to buy airtime.
Yeah.
And I say, what's his name? And he says, Dick Little.
Okay.
And I say, what's he selling? And he says, Viagra. You don't get it either.
What's to get? The guy wants to buy airtime. Do you understand that we're drowning in red ink? Drowning in red ink. Does the guy want to buy airtime or not, bud?
Yeah, he does, Mr. Hall. And he said he wanted to talk to the man in charge. And Mr. Henry won't put the phone call through.
What's with you, anyway?
Are you guys out of your freaking minds? A guy comes in, calls himself Dick Little, and he's selling Viagra.
Well, what don't you like about that?
It's obviously a gag.
Why?
I can't explain it.
I want you to explain it right now, and do it in such a way so the FCC doesn't get you in trouble.
David.
I said to do it.
Yeah, do it, so the FCC don't get you in trouble.
Why don't you shut up? Look, David,
you're saying it's obscene or something. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm just saying it's in bad taste. It's a gag.
I don't get the joke. All I know is there's a guy out there who wants to buy airtime. Now, unless you come up with a good reason why we shouldn't put Dick Little's Viagra Company on the air, I don't want to hear any more about it.
Will you take full responsibility with the FCC?
No.
Then I don't want to put it on the air.
Then what's wrong with it? Explain it to me.
The thing...
See, that's why he sounded with me, Mr. Hall. He can't say nothing.
Yeah, Bud said you were stammering around like an idiot.
Oh, is that what he said, huh? The guy's name is Dick Little.
Yeah, I got that already. I got that about 100 times.
Okay, he's selling Viagra. Think about what it is that Viagra is supposed to do.
I know what Viagra does.
Yeah, we know what Viagra do.
All right, screw it. Let's put him on the air.
Good. That's all I wanted to hear you say. All right, bud, go get the man. But have him change his name to Richard because of the FCC.
Oh, yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Coming up later on, Lloyd Bonafide sings his audition for American Idol, Harvey Wireman with entertainment talk, and more from the cast of characters here on The Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. People call or people actually email at phs@philhenryshow.com, and they request bits from previous shows. It's a unique talk show in that we, you know, people call in and request like 3 minutes of what we did once. I'm not saying we're special. I'm not trying to say that we're unique or groundbreaking or trendsetting or that people are fanatical about our program, but I suppose in many ways they are. And
shut up.
You're the guy that ought to shut up with the whole Dick Little bit.
No, you're the guy.
Anyway, in a moment, we're going to play a flashback, which was requested, and in it, you'll hear Gary Shandling. Gary Shandling and Greg Kinnear came to the studio one afternoon about 2 summers ago to watch the show, and both of them really nice gentlemen, and they Gary wanted to be involved in this bit. We were in the middle of a Bobby Dooley bit, and he said, I'd like to jump in and, you know, add some voice to this thing. So you'll hear Gary doing a little shtick with Bobby in the bit coming up. We'll take a couple of phone calls here. 1-800-449-8686. People still reacting to the Brian Grant bit we did where, you know, I did the voice of Brian Grant. People were calling and think it was him. Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Yes, Phil, this is Hal Levalier. We wanted to...
How you doing, Hal?
I'm doing very, very well, Phil. Viola's here. We wanted to call and lend our support to your program. You give us such a thrill, and we enjoy every minute of it, and it just, what a kick, and we're very concerned. You said some Mexicans were on their way to slit your throat from ear to ear.
No, I didn't say that at all. Can you turn your plane down, will you?
Honey, turn the plane down. Yeah, go ahead, Phil.
I didn't say that at all. And a couple of guys call up, that's all. I didn't say that at all.
Well, we're behind you 100%, and I also wanted to,
Phil, hi, it's Viola. He's flying the plane. He thinks he can talk and fly at the same time.
You don't ever tell it right.
Nothing to tell. We just wanted to call up and say that we really like your program, and we're on our way to Laughlin, and we're going to... do you want us to put some money down on a color for you, honey? We love the roulette. They're doing a roulette tournament this weekend.
Yeah, go ahead and put it on 16 red.
He wants it on 17 black.
Oh, I said 16 red.
What did he say?
What'd you say, Phil?
16 red.
16 blue.
16 blue.
I didn't say 16 blue. I said 16 red.
What did he say?
What do you want it on?
16 red, if you're going to play a number for me in roulette in Laughlin.
All right, he wants it on 16. Say it again.
16 red.
We're stalling.
If 16 red hits and those clowns just ditched in the Lake Mead... All right, time now for our requested flash. We're stalling. I'll bet you they're stalling. I'll bet you they're stalling so they could get the Laughlin. Lay my money on that number. All right, anyway, here is the request that comes to us from Chris. It says, Phil, the most hilarious bit you've ever done was in 2000. Well, it was actually 2002, I think. It was the bit where Bobby Dooley was having an event. Suddenly, Gary Shandling was supposed to be involved in this event, and Gary called into the show claiming never to have heard of the event and denied ever being booked on it denied ever being knowing anything about the thing. Bobby tried to tell him who she spoke to in order to book Shandling. She named several people that Gary had never heard of. It's a classic. I hope you can find it. A Phil listener, Chris. Actually, Gary was at the studio that day and knew the bit and was just kind of playing along with it. Here it is. It's Bobby Dooley wanting to try and get Gary Shandling for her fashion show.
Hello, Gary. Are you there?
Hold on for a minute. Let me punch the line and get him on here.
Gary, are you there?
Hello?
Gary, hi. Phil Henry.
Oh, hi, Phil.
Gary, it's good of you to call the show, and I understand you had an issue or something with what this lady was talking about.
I don't know. First of all, I don't call into radio shows, and I listen to you all the time, Phil. You know, I think
I appreciate
the show's
that.
Great, but
thank you.
I was listening today, and this woman says I'm hosting something, and I'm just not, and I was glad I was listening. And usually I don't call in to complain, but gee whiz.
Gary, I talked to Pam in your office, and she said she'd be happy to do it. Pam or Laura? Pam or Laura?
I don't know any Pam or any Laura, and
right,
this always happens, and I never do anything about it. I called my agent like 10 minutes ago and said, am I hosting?
Please, Mr. Dooley, hold on.
I love you.
Gary, are you saying to me that you have no knowledge of this event that Ms. Dooley has been saying you're going to be at?
Was her husband saying he was a fan?
Are you a fan, Mr. Dooley? Is that it?
I love you, Gary.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that.
We love you very much, Gary.
Yeah, but there's some misunderstanding because I'm not
mm-hmm.
hosting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not. Oh, for I knew I shouldn't have called. Mm-hmm. I knew this was.
You're not
be
hosting
difficult.
Any bit. That's.
I'm
going...
not hosting anything. I don't know what the cause is exactly. It's not something I want to get involved in.
If you could see my daughter, she's really hot.
Hold on for a minute about your daughter, okay? I'm embarrassed for you, sir,
no,
Mr. Shanley. I'm.
You're great in Spider-Man.
No, I wasn't in. Oh, for the love.
I want to know something, and I want to be clear. Are you telling me that after I talked to Laura or Kim, and I can't remember her, is your agent's name Ron?
No, I don't really. I'm honest. I don't know my agent's name, but I don't believe it's Ron. But you should. What is it? What is it? All right.
Jewish name.
What
Hold
is
on.
Paying? What are you paying?
I'm. What we're paying, we have tri-tip corn on the cob. We're having a green and red cabbage salad.
My daughter's hot too.
Oh.
What are you paying?
I shouldn't have gotten involved.
Yeah.
Listen, I just wanted to say, Phil, that I am not.
I'm sorry
doing
that
this
it. Had to come out like this, and to throw somebody's name around like that, Ms. Dooley.
Well, I can assure you, Mr. Shandling, that my agreement with your office is that you'll be there. If you're not there, then guess what? You won't have a TV show anymore.
I don't have a TV show anymore. I don't have a TV show anymore.
All right, anyway. Well, then we'll get you a TV show.
Oh,
and
boy.
Then we'll not, then you won't have it either.
This is why I never get involved.
Yeah.
I
Gary.
Never get involved in talking to the people who want me to do these jobs. I'm with the Endeavor agency. She should call them, and maybe somebody else can host. Maybe the guy who hosts Survivor, the Jeff Probst.
Can you get Jeff Probst?
We could get Jeff Probst. Jeff Probst. Is your agent's name Bill? Or Sam, or...
Well, you'd come on. You didn't talk to his agent. It must have been somebody else's office that they talked to, Gary. Who did you talk to, anyway?
One of the gentlemen selling maps over here on Hollywood Boulevard said that he could get you, and...
Yeah.
Oh, bro.
Did you get Warren Beatty instead, or...
I would...
The phone, Steve. Mr. Shandling, are you there?
Yeah, yes. He's right there.
We could give you, we can send a car for you. My son will come in a van. He'll come in the Western Estates van to pick you up and bring you over. We'll have a full corn on the cob dinner.
No.
Five Scrabble games.
He doesn't want to do it. The
it
man.
Sounds,
yeah.
And please take this in the right way. It sounds appealing. I'm just not. I can't do it. And the Endeavor Agency,
right.
Ari Emanuel is my agent. You can call him and maybe straighten this out.
What if we give you a backstage pass?
Never mind.
I'm going to have
Gary,
to
Gary, thank
go,
you very
though,
much. I am embarrassed for you, but I'm sure that
I've got some other stuff.
Please don't hold it against our program.
Why did you bring Calista Flockhart with you? She'd be great for the the girls to see.
All right, that's
yeah, okay,
that's
thank you.
Inappropriate. I gotta go.
It was. Thank you. That's Gary Shandling. Was actually here two summers ago with Greg Kinnear, and they'd been drinking all afternoon, and they had been bar hopping up and down Ventura Boulevard, and they said, "Let's stop in and watch Phil's show," and they did, and very nice guys. So that's our flashback request, Chris requesting that, and if you have a flashback request, you can email it to us at phs@philhenryshow.com, phs@philhenryshow.com, and coming up, we will have Lloyd Bonafide, who's going to be auditioning for American Idol. Mr. Bonafide is a retired heating and plumbing executive from Alhambra, and he's also one of the many guests that we do on our show. And if you just tuned in, and if you're a longtime listener, you understand that we do this occasionally. If you're a new listener, it's probably necessary that you hear what we're talking about, especially if you heard our first hour of the show tonight, where, we were pretending we were, I say we, because there's so many things going on in my head that I'm frightened for my own safety.
Listen, you retard, I told...
Hold on for a minute, I'm here, okay?
Is this Mr. Henry, sir?
Yes, it is.
All right, sir. I talked to some retarded gentleman just a moment ago.
You're talking about me. I told him he can't come on.
I told the guy he could come on tonight, will you? Don't tell people what they can or can't do. You check with me first.
I thought he was on yesterday.
I was on yesterday, you retard, and he said I could come back today. Why don't you get a clue?
Hey, come here, retard, for you, old man.
You've got a metal plate in your head. Everyone knows it.
All right, hold on for a minute. Bug out of here, bud, will you? Go get me another one of them Starbucks.
I don't understand. You hate Starbucks.
I explained it to you. Go get me one. Go get me that big venti with that,
couple of lumps of sugar?
Yeah.
So gay.
Is this Mr. Bonafide?
Yes, sir, it is. Sir, I resent it. I want to issue a formal complaint with yourself and the Clear Channel organization that that bona fide raving retard told me that...
Don't worry about him. Let's just get to what you want to do, because I got to move on with my show tonight, sir. You want to audition for American Idol, and...
Yes, sir, but I'm bedridden, all right? And I have been bedridden for the last 6 months.
And what's the problem?
Well, the problem is manyfold. Number one, I am a danger to myself. The courts have ordered me under house arrest because of a problem I got into. So I'm not allowed to leave the house. But I've wanted to audition for American Idol, and they said I could if I sang the song, recorded it, and sent it in. And that's what I want to do. And
American Idol wants to hear this.
Yes, they do. And the reason they do is because I love Bruce Springsteen, but also because I do, as Mr. Springsteen did in concert, a story, if you will, talking to the audience about the various things that I believe in.
Well, anybody who's seen Springsteen knows he used to go into his little raps.
Yeah, that's what, yeah, there, right there, that's it, yeah, a rap, or whatever you want to call it. And so I do. Now, I will tell you that Mr. Springsteen and I are very much opposed politically. I do not appreciate what he has said about our country and about our efforts in Iraq and the war on the terror. And so I will say that, just so you know that I'm not a two-face and I'm not a hypocrite.
All right, I appreciate that.
But I, like many people, have loved his music down through the years. And so with your permission, I do have a karaoke recording that I asked Mr. Newman to play.
Mark has it, okay, and you just whenever you want.
All right, Mr. Newman, if you can hear me, I'll count it down. One, two, one, two, one, two, one, five. What do you mean, say you? Say, I got into trouble with that song, looking up some woman's skirt.
I know. Where is this Hungry Heart? Oh, I got it here. It's track 14. Sorry, sir. You say when.
All right, watch my finger. All right.
I can't see your finger. You're on the phone.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right.
I didn't know we weren't starting yet.
I'll tell you when I want to start. What's that supposed to mean?
I hope he gets into a wreck in his limousine and has no feeling below the waist.
You got it, mister. I love Bruce Springsteen, and I've always loved him. But as far as I'm concerned, he and Teddy Pendergrass could go weave baskets together.
What a sick, sick...
Oh, you're about to call me a dirty name, huh?
Get out of here. We'll send your freaking tape off to American Idol. Every GD person's got a hungry heart. There's Lloyd. Lloyd Bonafide, ladies and gentlemen, just another of the many in our cast of characters as he is trying out for American Idol. You know, they ought to have seniors in that thing. Just, you know. Although, what? It turns into a joke, doesn't it? An old person gets out to sing and everyone thinks it's just... Unless it's Tony Bennett. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We've got some email to read tonight on our program. We also have Father James McQuarters ahead with an update on the Pope's condition. We have Harvey Wireman and a little look at the world of entertainment ahead as well on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, every time I flip on the tube, because I do watch Fox and CNN, and they tend to be, because they're news channels, they want to have news to put up there, and if there's no news, they'll run with whatever they think is hot, and I guess they think this guy's hot, but talk about an irritating-looking guy. Talk about a guy that you just want to take him and put him in a tub, shave off his hair, and say, you're old now, sir. You're very old, and the hair, you're not an engine, so quit trying to look like freaking Geronimo. Or whatever. I know the guy's some aging hippie. That's cool. What's really not cool is what this guy's been running his yap about. Have you heard about it? You know who this guy is? So I don't. Maybe it's not that big of a story because the only people who seem to care about it are these guys at Fox and CNN and maybe a couple times the newspaper have read it. Apparently the guy wrote an article after 9/11 that said that the people who died in the World Trade Center somehow deserved it because their actions working for all these money marketers, all these stockbrokers and the different things that were going on in the World Trade Center were contributed to a world condition that spawned terrorism. And so therefore, the people that died at 9/11, and he did use the term, they were like little Nazis who deserved to die, right? And And now the dude is like one of these people who's getting lots of publicity, and I'm sure he's rolling in it. And he's pretending like he really believes this stuff. Maybe he does. Right? And the guy's point of view is so utterly, what do you call it? It's like, doesn't, what would you say it is, bud?
Messed up.
Yeah, it's so utterly messed up. Yeah, I mean, you could argue it from nine different, in other words, from his point of view, all the people, all the Jews that died in World War II deserved it. I mean, everybody, like, remember my main man Clint Eastwood said in Unforgiven, bud?
What's that?
Everybody got it coming, boy. We all got it coming, kid, right? So I suppose we all deserve to die, but to say that a man deserves his fate more than another is to say than everybody does. Because if I work in a business that contributed to something that eventually made the guy come in and shoot everyone in the business, I deserve to die? And same thing like the Jews that died. And while we're on a subject, let's talk about the Indians. Because I saw this guy on TV, and he was at some Native American... Boy, if there's one thing that really kind of tightens my jaws up, it's when white folks start hanging around Indian things. Oh, man. See, because the black people kicked him out long ago. White people can't get into any black things anymore, because the black folks, get out of here. But we're in solidarity. Just get out. You mess us up more than you help. Now just bug off. So the black folks, you know, whether there's an empowerment economic group or there's, not that they hate white people, it's just there's a, we got to do this our way. Thank you very much. And so when Whitey starts hanging around, it's, yeah, thank you. That's really not, well, I brought a cake and some blintzes. No, it's fine. Leave them at the door and just get back in your car and go away. And we'll let you know. We'll call your agent. Thank you. So, having been shunned from most of the African-American functions, where do white people go? The next best place? Indian events. So now they start hanging around with the Indians. And they grow their hair long, maybe put on a headband, who knows? And they start hanging around, pumping their fist in the air, and the poor Native Americans, because there's only about five of them left. There's only real five Indians left. You realize that, don't you? Everybody else is like diluted, watered down. Like the guy that you see on any given day, any Indian on TV, the guy's probably like one half Irish. So there's only five Indians, and so they need all the help they can get. And so, and of course, every white person you talk to, well, you know, my family is one part Cree. Oh, really? Uh-huh. I suppose you're willing to back that up. Well, I don't have papers to that effect. Are you questioning me? It's like that old thing I used to say. Everybody wants to admit they're part Indian. Ask them if there's any black in them, and they're, me? So, anyway, I saw this guy on the tube, and he's standing there at some Native American event, and there he is pumping his fist, and he's yapping his yap, and I wanted to put my head through the television screen, and I did. So that's all I wanted to tell you. Seeing that guy on TV with his big ears, his long hair, his crooked face, and his ugly opinion, I headbutted my television set. And then wore it for the rest of the day. Just walking around with a big box on my head. Funny, isn't it, bud?
Yeah, that's a funny image.
What an idiot. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Now, I want to tell you something. When we come back, we've had requests, and we're putting it up on our website. It ought to be up tonight. And it's a beautiful thing. It's the origin of some of the lines we use on our show. And again, if you're new to our program tonight, or if you've been listening for a long time, there's certain lines you'll hear our characters use. And people have often emailed to say, where's that line come from? What movie is that from? And why are you using it? And we have a kind of an essay on our website that describes all of that. We also have Harvey Wireman's Entertainment Talk tonight. We'll continue introducing you to some of the other characters that are on our program. We talked to Bobby Dooley. I think we just had Lloyd on. We'll have Ted from Ted's of Beverly Hills coming up. Doug Danger, who is a gay man and a gay journalist, in that order. And Vernon Dozier, a high school football coach and high school math teacher, who married a girl who was in his math class just the second after she graduated. He put her in the back of his station wagon, and off to Vegas they went. 1-800-449-8686, the world-famous Phil Henry. You're a general contractor, though. Is that correct, sir?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
And now, Mr. Bozell, you're on our program quite a bit, and you're always suing people. Suing people because they laughed at you, suing people because, like at the Olive Garden, can you tell me about what happened at the Olive Garden that time?
I would take exception. You say you're always suing people.
Well, I didn't mean to. What I'm saying is you have a litigious history, do you not?
Mr. Henry, I will tell you that I do use the legal system in the United States, as I do. And
can you tell me, the Olive Garden is a restaurant chain. What happened?
Well, I will tell you that I feel as if I'm on your program now for entertainment purposes, and I'm not...
Look it, pal, I'm making up your voice as you go, so don't argue with me, okay? Just do what I told you to do. Why are you... Did you sue the Olive Garden?
I sued the Olive Garden. I sued the Olive Garden.
What, are you going to cry now?
I want to say what I want to say, and I don't want to be told what to say.
I made you up. Now, tell me why you're suing the Olive Garden.
Don't yell at him.
What, are you telling me what to do, too?
I'm just saying, speak with respect.
Yeah, yelling at him and being angry.
He's a made-up voice, you idiot.
Still, you ought to at least have some respect for me. Hello?
I'm here, okay? All right, look, sorry. Why did you sue the Olive Garden?
I sued the Olive Garden because... My wife and I love to go to the Olive Garden. We enjoy the food very deeply. I also have a pair of, I have a Western apparel that I wear. My wife thinks it's very sexy, so I took her out one night to dinner wearing Western apparel, and I also wear spurs along with the boots.
Okay.
I went to the men's room to use the urinal, and I came out, and my wife, April, likes it when I come walking out kind of bow-legged with my thumbs in my belt. And I'm whistling the theme from Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Okay.
And I had a piece of toilet paper stuck to my spur, and they started to laugh at me.
Who laughed at you?
Some of the busboys and some of the waiters in the restaurant. So I did go to Dolores Blazengame, who's my attorney out in Riverside, California, and she did, at that time, file a lawsuit.
All right, so you sued them for what?
I sued them for emotional cruelty, for emotional rape and fondlement.
There we go. Okay, I wanted to... You sue people for things like emotional fondlement.
And is this part of your little shtick to make fun of that?
No, I just... What does that mean? You're emotionally fondled?
Yes, I was emotionally molested by their laughing at me.
All right, well, that's all I wanted to know. And what was the outcome of the suit?
It's still pending. The judge refused to hear it first, but we're trying another strategy with it.